Yerin.
Good morning, Jefferson.
Good morning, Yerin. The time is 9 o'clock. Can you start?
Yes, sir, we can start.
Good morning, honorable members, our support staff, everybody is on the platform. We are all welcome. Today we are meeting with the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs on the Adjustment Appropriation Bill 2020-2022. Darren, let me just check who's leading the COGCHAT delegation.
It is the Deputy Minister, Nkadi Meng, Chairperson.
Okay. DM Nkadi Meng, good morning, and you are most welcome with your team to the Standing Committee on Appropriation. Good morning.
Good morning, Ken. Thank you very much.
Thank you. this is, first before we proceed, do you have any apologies?
Yes, Chairperson, we received apologies from Ms. Dihale, as well as the Minister of Cooperative Governance and the Deputy Minister, Mr. Papela. They are both engaged in other official business. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. There's also an apology from Honorable Tipuo Peters. She'll be connecting a little bit late, but she will be joining the meeting. Honourable members, ladies and gentlemen, as I've said, we have got COGCHAT led by DMT Nkadi Meng, dealing with the Adjustment Appropriation Bill. We have written a letter to the department, and they'll be responding to that letter with their presentation. We want to give you, DM and your team, about 45 minutes. To go through your presentation. After that, I'll allow the oral members to interact with the presentation in whatever way, including asking questions, and then again allow you to respond to those questions, and then we'll go to the next agenda item. But you are most welcome to ask the department that you are leading DM. It's very important. for service delivery, for bettering the lives of our people. So as you can see that you are quite irregular here, it's because of the importance that this committee attaches to the department. Honorable members, with those few words, allow me to invite Honorable Nkadi Meng, DM. We'll leave to you with your team. You'll only bring the meeting back to us at about 9:45. Thank you. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson of the Standing Committee on Appropriations, members of the committee themselves, as well as senior officials. From the Department of Cooperative Governance, we are led by our Director General, May Avril Williamson. Of course, a team of about two DDGs, a Chief Director from NDMC, and other colleagues who are joining us. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Thank you very much for appreciating the apology on behalf of DM Papela and the Honorable Minister. We are glad for the opportunity you have given us as the department to make the presentation to the committee on the Adjustment Appropriation Bill as tabled by the Minister of Finance. This presentation, Honorable Chair, was particularly important as the Minister of Finance had allocated 3.6 billion in spending adjustment towards the disaster relief, especially the April floodings, which affected several parts of the country, but in the main case at an Eastern Cape. In the Northwest, we welcome this opportunity, as I said, to then share with the committee of the work we have undertaken in response to the recent floods the country has experienced. As I have said, KZN was the hardest hit in the experiences what ensued after the disaster itself. As you may know, Chair, Following the devastating rains, the national state of disaster was declared in response to the floods in the three provinces, and the declaration of the disaster considered in the main the magnitude and severity of the damage caused and the need for government to augment existing measures and that needs to be undertaken by the organs of state to deal with disaster. The declaration also made it possible for the mobilization of support and resources through various interventions and mechanisms. As government, we activated the disaster management response through our National Disaster Management Center to coordinate an integrated response across all the spheres of government. The private sector as well was involved and welcomed. Civil society in the same spirit, complemented by provincial disaster teams, which are at the coalface of all the affected areas. So as part of our presentation this morning, Honorable Chair, we'll try to bring the committee into confidence about the funding requirements for the reconstruction and rehabilitation of both the public and private infrastructure that was damaged by the floods, but also we'll look into how severe the impact on the lives of the people and their livelihoods was, and the results which resulted as recorded in drownings, deaths, landslides, power outages, water shortages, in some instances, a road cut off villages in connecting from one area to the other, flooding and the various damage of infrastructure. We have managed to respond to the floods by implementing three overlapping phases, which was humanitarian assistance, stabilization and recovery, as well as the rehabilitation and reconstruction on focusing building better. We did that under the spirit of the DDM, which is on the premise of our IGR framework as government. Allow me to share with these few words and honorable members that I hand over to our Director General, Mayor Avril Williamson, to make the presentation. Of course, she can share with the colleagues who are part of our team, and we will hand it back over to you after we've made the presentation. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. With your permission, as granted earlier, I will hand over to Mayor Williamson to lead the delegation of the department and take us through the presentation. DG? DG Williamson?
Good morning, Deputy Minister, and I also want to greet the chairperson of the Standing Committee and all the Standing Committee members. With your permission, Chair, just for bandwidth, if I will be allowed not to then show my picture, because I have some weak network challenges, but I greet also to all the officials that I have present today, and if I could kindly ask that the presentation is then slided. Thank you so much, Honorable Chairperson.
Good morning, Honorable Chair. Can I request the Head of Health to assist Mr. Alive to share with you?
Okay, let's get the slide on, colleagues.
Chairperson, I've made Mr. Shike the... Okay, there we go.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much, Chairperson, and good morning once again. If you could move to the second slide, please. So the purpose of our presentation here today is to actually brief the Standing Committee on Appropriations, firstly on the Adjustments Appropriation Bill for the period that ended on the 30th of September. So we'll provide a summary of the financial and non-financial performance as at the end of the second quarter. what are some of the reasons and the actions that we have taken to prevent also the possible under and over expenditure and underperformance as at the end of the financial year. We will also then provide a detailed report on the financial performance of all our grants as listed, and then also a detailed report on the 3.6 billion that was declared as unforeseen and unavoidable expenditure, and also an overview of the funding requirements for reconstruction and rehabilitation of both the public and private infrastructure that was damaged, and also then a detailed report on any interventions that were made to the recent floods, and in particular in KZN. Chair, I will be sharing this presentation between myself and Dr. Sithole of the NDMC, who will come in at the point of the grant. So the first point to maybe mention is that the 2022 adjustment appropriation bill provided for a net addition of 3.6 billion to our allocated budget. So it then increased from 111.4 billion to 115 billion. And the majority then of the allocations were dedicated towards the flood disaster recovery and rehabilitation. And I think it's notable for us to then mention that just over 3 billion was then allocated to the National Disaster Management Center for the reconstruction and rehabilitation of damages caused by floods in KZN and Eastern Cape. And then the 344.5 million was also then allocated to replenish the municipal and provincial disaster response grants. And then 289 million was also allocated for the reconstruction and rehabilitation of municipal infrastructure in the Western Cape. So if you look then at the department in terms of each of the programs, the original E&E was sitting at 728 million. We received from National Treasury a rollover of 12.835 million, which I'll explain later. And if you look then at what we had projected to spend, we would have should have been at the end of quarter two at 95%. However, what we have actually spent is sitting at 43.1%. With the greatest spend, as you can see, in institutional development and also in our administration area. If you then look at the funds that are earmarked in relation to all the transfers that we are required to do, you will also then note that we were sitting at a projection of 89.3% on what we wanted to spend by now. However, our actual spend is sitting at 36.6%.
Jean?
Yes?
My apology. Is there any way of having a pointer where you point? Your slide is quite busy and a lot of numbers. So when you speak to a certain number, one start checking where that number is. At least just refer us to a certain column and so on. Get what I mean? Okay. If you can have a pointer, that's fine. But you see, it's quite a busy slide. So I was just trying to see that I'm able to follow it.
Okay. Chairperson, I'm not able to put that pointer up, the red dot. I have a bit of a challenge on my computer to do that. But I don't know if my pointer can be seen on the screen.
Yes, I saw it. And then it just disappeared. It was there.
All right. Okay, so what I will do, Chair, maybe just to explain, I'll start then from the first column, which actually outlines firstly the department programs. We have five programs, so starting from administration to the community work program in the first column. The next column actually explains what the original allocation was in terms of the E&E. And then the next column explains the actual environment and the rollovers. So I then jump to the last column, which then explains what we had projected to spend. And you will see the subtotal there is 95%. However, year to date, two columns before this one, we were sitting at 43.1%. I hope that's useful, Chair.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Then if you go to the next table, we are saying that the original E&E on all the grants as they are listed and all the transfers, starting firstly with the Salva transfer, all the way down to UCLGA transfer, you can see what the original budgetary amounts were. If you look at the MESA transfer, we provided for an additional requirement of 50 million. And if you then look at UCLGA transfer, you can see what was initially budgeted. However, we did not transfer any funds during this period to UCLGA. If you look then at all the grants, starting from the equitable share, you can then also see what the amounts are that have been allocated in the first column to each of those grants, with the biggest grants being our local government equitable share. It makes up 96.8% of the transfers that we do in grants. The second one is the MIC allocation, which sits at 16.8 billion. And then the IUDG, just over a billion. And the rest as listed up to the Community Works Program at 4.2 billion. If you then move to the last column on the right, we were projected to spend 89.3% as an overall total for all transfers and grants to date. However, we've only transferred 36.6% as an overall average. So this is in essence what this slide is indicating to us. If you go to the next slide, what we are now indicating is really the department operations. We've extrapolated or expanded to indicate not only our operational expenditure, but also our cost of employment expenditure. So if you look at the cost of employment budget, which was sitting at 353 million, we were projected to have spent 93.1% into the last column. However, to year to date, we have spent 47.3%. Our overall expenditure, both in operations and the cost of employment, is sitting at 43.1%, which is in the third column from the right. So we've also explained the reasons for the underspending on compensation of employees, mainly due to the delayed implementation of our organizational structure and salary increase. The underspending of goods and services has mainly been delaying in starting the implementation of our annual department procurement plan, but also underspending in our capital assets. If you can move to the next slide. So under the transfers and grants, we are also then providing the reasons for the under expenditure. So in the Eastern Cities Network, there was a delay in just receiving the request. However, since been paid, in the local government equitable share, we have spent 39% against the 42% as for the payment schedule due to the under collection by staff. We've also had some underspending in MIC, and the funds here were withheld due to poor performance on municipal projects and payments for September were also delayed due to national treasury experiencing problems with the processing system. So on the MSIG, the spending has also been slower than normal. This was due to the DDM system, we had to do a second round or iteration of getting a service provider on the development of the DDM system through DBSA. So that's one of the reasons for the delay. With regard to the disaster relief fund, some of the transfers had happened earlier than expected. for the disaster relief in KZN, and of course, rejection was submitted to National Treasury in February. With regard to the CWP, the bulk invoices that were received from the implementing agents are still being processed, and we found that some had errors, and we had to then return these to the implementing agents. And as a result of this, we had to withhold payments to ensure that the previously advanced funds were also completely accounted for. If we could move to the next slide. The committee had also asked that we provide an update on how we were doing against the payments of suppliers. As we all know, we are required to pay suppliers within 30 days. From April to October, we received 5,671 invoices, column on the left. The value of those invoices is sitting at over 203 million. And what you will see is that we have paid nearly all months within the 30-day period, except for the one invoice that was not paid on time in June. It was paid in the 31st day, and that was also linked to the fact that there was non-compliance in the practice note, as it would have related to the public holiday not being considered during that month. So of course, that delay. If you could then move to the next slide. Starting from the grant performance, Chairperson, with your permission, I would hand over to Dr. Fitole. And if you could move to the next slide in the meantime, thank you.
Thank you very much, DG. Honorable Chair, Honourable Members and Honourable Deputy Minister, colleagues, good morning. I'll be presenting on issues of the grants. This slide, Chair, it actually represents issues of the municipal infrastructure grants that it happened on the second quarter financial performance. Here are the provinces on my left-hand side, which were allocated the MIG grant. The Eastern Cape, Free State, Gauteng, KZN, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Northwest, Northern Cape, and Western Cape. The expenditure per percentage in terms of the allocations, under Eastern Cape, we've got 13%. Expenditure under Free State, we've got 12%. Expenditure based on the allocation. And Gauteng, Chair, is a worrying factor. And Gauteng, as you see, that it is red when you go on the right-hand side, is 5.12% is really under expenditure. It is really under expenditure there in Gauteng. KZN, there's good progress there, is 20% expenditure. Limpopo is 12%. Mpumalanga is 18%. Northern Cape is 11%. Again, the worrying factor is the Northwest, which is 6%, and Western Cape, it is 11%. The overall percentage of the expenditure of MIG is 14%. Next slide, please, Shika. Here, Chairperson, we're also demonstrating, as we've indicated, in terms of the allocation of MIG to those provinces and project funded and expenditure. And then the total overall under Eastern Cape is 36, and then under Free State is 18, Gauteng is 5, KZN is 51, Limpopo is 25, Mpumalanga is 16, Northern Cape is 25, Northwest is 20, Western Cape is 22, the overall is 280. The next slide, please. Again here, the most municipalities, Chair, should have been at 20%, as I've indicated that some of the provinces really they've got under expenditure, which is between 15% and 25% expenditure of the allocation as at the end of September 2022. 88 out of 280 municipalities did not spend at least 10% of their 2022-2023 allocation by end of September 2022. 22 out of 88 municipalities spent 0% as at the end of September 2022. 17 out of 88 municipalities are under cost reimbursement arrangement, which means funds are only transferred if invoices are submitted, if invoices as submitted by municipalities and verified against the work completed. Reasons Chair identified for poor spending are as follows. Bullet number one, supply chain management delays, the issue of late registration of projects, poor performance of contractors, local business forums, interferences impacting on projects progress, community protests resulting in stopping of projects, changing of project implementation priorities, limited or lack of technical capacity within municipalities, vacant position in municipalities, which impact on the value chain of MIG. The next slide, please. Still under the municipal infrastructure grant, focusing on the second quarter financial performance, the analysis of the MIG municipal performance reports identify a number of municipalities with poor spending and project performance. And municipal interventions are carried out regularly in an effort to improve MIG performance. As such, to date, the following actions have been taken. One, where there are supply chain delays, municipalities were requested to develop and share supply chain plans with a view of accelerating the appointment processes. DCOG MIG provincial teams have coordinated municipal interventions with the participation of provincial COGSTAS, MISA, and sector departments. Three, the interventions are informed by specific challenges from each of the affected municipalities. Four, municipalities present their improvement plans and are interrogated by the team to ensure their relevance in addressing the identified challenges. Where there are challenges with planning, MISA has been able to support municipalities where they have a footprint. MISA has also committed to support municipalities with technical support capacity challenges. The last bullet point, the interventions include visiting projects with implementation challenges and agreeing on actions to improve performance and implementation. Next slide, please. In this slide, Chair, we are demonstrating the issue of the Integrated Urban Development Grants, which is commonly known as the IUDG. The Integrated Development Urban Development Grants was introduced in the 2019-2020 Division of Revenue Act as a consolidated grants for so-called intermediate city municipalities. The introduction of these grants is an important of the integrated urban development framework, and it is one element of the support program for intermediate city municipalities and is guided by the recommendation of the review of the local government infrastructure grants. The last bullet point, it is an application and performance-based infrastructure grant, meaning that municipalities that want to participate on the grant need to submit an application and meet certain minimum requirements. To date, there are 8 intermediate city municipalities that participate in the IUDG. Next slide, please. In this slide, we are demonstrating again the quarter expenditure per municipality as from July to September by the following municipalities, which is Polokwane, Mokgalisi, Tumhlatuza, Reinkonyeni, Salt Lakis, Stellenbosch, Drangestein, and Stiftsrand. Based on the total allocation, the percentage of the expenditure under Polokwane is 15%, under Mokgalisi it is 8%, under Mhlatuza is 86%, Under Rainkonyeni is 31%, under Sol Plaas is 60%, which is really commendable. Under Stellenbosch is 39%, also Drankenstein is 62%, Steve Swete is 8%, the overall percentage, which is 32%. Here, as I've indicated in the previous slide, this is the overall financial performance with regard to grant expenditure. The total approved IUDG allocation for the financial year, which is is 1 billion, and the total amount transferred to the municipalities for the year to date up until the last working day for the previous year is 433 million. The actual expenditure for the year to date until the last day of the previous month is 138 million. So the actual expenditure for the year to date is a percentage of amount is 32%. The next slide, please. Here, Chair, we are flagging the issues of the reports on unforeseen and unavoidable expenditure. And we had the rollover, which is actually was the transfers and the subsidies under the S-Grantia payment for the S-Councillors, which is amount of 12 million. And the unforeseen and unavoidable expenditure, which actually funded or about to fund the municipalities which were affected by the floods, which were Etegwini, Mhlatuze, Uthukela, Mgungudlo, Vilembe, Winnie Madikizela local municipality. But also, Chair, I must indicate that we also requested the replenishment of the municipal disaster grants and also the provincial disaster grants of the amount of 344 million. The amount on the right-hand side, Chair, allocated to Tegwin is 1.5 billion, and then Umhlatuze is 39 million, and then Uthukela it was 98 million, and then Umgungudlo is 10 million, then Ilembe it was 1.2 billion, and then Winnie Madikizela local municipality is 32 million. All in all, in terms of adjustment estimate, was 3.6 billion. The next slide, please. Here is the disaster response, recovery, and rehabilitation funding allocation. The National Treasury approved an amount of 3.6 billion for the reconstruction and rehabilitation, as well as the replenishment of disaster response. As I reported in the previous slide, under KZN, the following municipalities were earmarked for the allocation, which is the Tewini, Umhlatuze, Uthukela, Mgungudlovu, and Ilembe. Under Eastern Cape is Winnie Madikizela local municipalities. Also, still under the Eastern Cape Ntabakulu local municipality, there was an allocation in terms of the error captured under the Department of Education. I must indicate, Chair, that the engagement between the National Disaster Center and then the National Treasury are underway. Under the Western Cape province, the following municipalities were funded or allocated: the Oudtshoorn, George, Swellendam, Tweewaterskloof, Rede Valley Municipality for amount of 289 million. As we have indicated, Chair, that we also requested the replenishment for the 2022-2023 financial year under the Municipal Disaster Response Grant. The allocation received is 246 million under the Provincial Disaster Response Grant. The allocation was 96 million. All in all, 344 million. Next slide, please. The funding requirements for reconstruction and rehabilitation of damaged infrastructure for private and public budget adjustment processes considered projects that could not be funded through the disaster response grants or other mechanisms such as reprioritization and reallocation of other grants. All affected organs of state were to revise and confirm the projects where financial support was still required, but to exclude the project funded from other funding stream mechanisms such as disaster response grant, reallocation or reprioritization of funds and donor support. So the chair will avoid the issues of duplication in terms of support of those projects. A process follows in terms of the submissions. The national projects, the national organs of state confirm projects for recovery and rehabilitation and submit to National Treasury directly and copy the National Disaster Center and entities to submit to their respective departments so that it can be submitted to National Treasury. Under provincial projects, provincial organs of state will then have to confirm projects for recovery and rehabilitation and submit to their respective national organs of state directly and copy the provincial disaster management center. Then the national organs of state will submit to National Treasury and copy the NDMC, and that one is actually happens in previous month, which is the 10th of August 2022. Projects under the municipality, the municipal organs of state will then have to confirm projects for recovery and rehabilitation and submit them to the provincial disaster management center, and the provincial disaster management center will submit those projects to the National Disaster Management Center, and that was the date planned in terms of the submission. And thereafter, NDMC will then submit to National Treasury again on the planned date, which is the 10th of August 2022. The circular will be provided on the submission procedure and criteria, which I must indicate that normally there is a circular which actually spell out clear in terms of how the process of submission works. In this slide, Chair, is a detailed report on intervention made to the recent floods, particular to the KZN. Here, these are the grant response funding allocated and expenditure to date. Here, then, the funding actually was divided into phases, and some of these phases funded other provinces as well. Under the municipal disaster response grants, 371 million was actually available in the 2022-2023 financial year, and the following municipalities were funded under phase one, and most of them under KZN, with amount of 87 million, and that amount or that allocation was transferred on the 29 June 2022. And these are the following municipalities. These are the following municipalities: Msunduzi, Mkabateni, Ilembe, Inkosi, Langalibalele, and Renkonyene municipality. Under phase two, also funded KZN with amount of 134 million, and that allocation was transferred on the 28th of July 2022 to the following municipalities: Afred, Duma, Kwadukuza, and Renkonyene municipality. Under phase three, that allocation was allocated to the Eastern Cape with amount of 35 million and was transferred on the 5th of August 2022 to the following municipalities: Port St. John, Emuza Hill, Nyandeni, Mzimbubu, Makulu municipality. Also under phase four, it was allocated to the Eastern Cape with an amount of 74 million and it was transferred on the 5th of August 2022 Tumbashe, Winnie Matizela, and Oortambo municipality. The amount of 185 million, which was transferred from the provincial grant response grants, funded KZN under phase five with that amount of 185 million. Can we move to the next one? Here, Chair, these are the MISA support to KZN municipalities. The MISA KZN technical support team of seven engineers has been providing technical support to KZN municipalities before, during, and after the floods damage. Soon after the floods damage, the MISA KZN team was supporting municipalities to prepare preliminary reports as certain areas were still not accessible or recommending safety measures. Bullet number three, on the 18th of April 2022, additional 9 professional registered MISA engineers with 2 drones joined the MISA KZN technical team for utilization of those 2 drones and support. Bullet number four, the MISA team of 16 engineers, together with other engineers from KZN COCTA, DPSA, Free State, Western Cape Province, have completed assessment of floods, damage, municipality infrastructure in all KZN district municipalities. MISA has furnished public infrastructure a unit cost guideline being used during the assessment. The last bullet point, Chair, KZN COCTA consolidated the cost estimate for assessment done by the team of engineers. The next slide, please. Again, the cost estimate for municipality infrastructure damage, you see here on my left-hand side, we have listed the categories of the infrastructure which were actually earmarked for the repairs and allocations, which is the roads and the stormwater infrastructure. You will recall that during the floods, a lot of roads, they were washed away, bridges, also cemeteries, community halls, sport facilities, libraries, crèches, landfill site, water, sanitation, and electricity. And these are the municipalities which the allocation actually was allocated, where those infrastructure, it was they were actually repaired. Ugu District Municipality, Mgungundlovu, Togela, Amachuba, Mzinyathi, Zululand, Mkhanyakude, King Kachwayo, Ilembe, and Herigwa. All in all, which is 6.5 billion. The next slide, please. Here we are just also demonstrating the geolocation per municipalities in terms of the spaces of cost estimates in KZN. And also this slide, I think it's putting nicely in terms of where exactly these municipalities are located, so that it's easy actually to see the progress of these projects. These are the municipalities where the allocation was allocated: Zululand District Municipality, Amachuba, Umzinyathi, Uthukela, Mgungundlovu, Herigwa District Municipality. On the left-hand side, we are also demonstrating there the municipalities also that where allocation was allocated: Mkhanyakude, King Kachwayo District Municipality, Ilembe, Ethekwini, and Ugu District. The next slide. In this slide, Chair, we're highlighting the issues of the post-damage assessment activities. The team of engineers currently supporting municipalities with the following. 1, prioritizations of projects. 2, supporting municipalities to restore services to areas still without services. 3, reprioritization of infrastructure implementation plans. Applying for disaster applicable funding. The last bullet point, participating in the Joint Operation Committee, which is commonly known as JOC, with all the municipalities, provincial and national department representatives, just to make sure that this implementation actually is streamlined so that there's no any confusion. In this slide, Chair, is a detailed report in terms of the financial performance of the grant allocated to these 2 provinces. Under KZN, we've got Msunduzi, in terms of expenditure up to date is 24%. Mkabatini is 100%, which is really a good progress in that municipality. Under Ilembe is 35%. Inkosilanga Libalele is 5%, which is really not good. But we can always say that it's good, it's work in progress, because there is already a team on the ground making sure that they unlock any bottlenecks in that space. Ugu District is a worrying factor because the expenditure is 0%. Reinkonyeni is 68%. Afred Duma also is a Warren Municipality, because we have got a 0% expenditure. Kwatukuza, we have got 6%, which is not really good, but I can also indicate that there's work in progress, there's work behind the submissions happening just to make sure that we speed up the implementation. Renkonyeni is 42%. Chair, I must indicate that I've mentioned two Renkonyeni allocation, the reason being that we fund the project as a rate in terms of the business case submitted to us. Etegwini also is a Warren Municipality, which is 0%. But in our previous meeting with the colleagues from the province, they indicated that the reason why we've got 0% is because of the delay in terms of the procurement and appointment of service providers. Under Eastern Cape, we have got Port St. John, Inwoza Hill, Nyandeni, Umzimvubu, Ntabankulu, Mbashe, Winnie Mandela, and OR Tambo Municipality. Under Eastern Cape, in terms of the expenditure, Port St. John also is a warrant factor there. We've got 0% expenditure. Inwoza Hill is 13%. Nyandeni is 7%, which is not really good. Umzimvubu is 61%, which is actually very good. And Ntabankulu again is a warrant factor, is 0%. Mbashe is 19%. Winnie Mandela is 0%. And OR Tambo is 17%. Chair, let me also indicate that, or emphasize that there is an engagement with the CFOs and MM to make sure that we speed up the expenditure to this project. Next slide, please. Reasons and actions taken to prevent under expenditure and under performance at the end of the financial year. Areas of concern, Chair. On my left-hand side, disaster response grants are dispersed to various organs of state for disaster interventions. However, there are areas of concern requiring attention. The following are key identified challenges. One, delays for implementation to start and then slow implementation pace. Two, requests by municipalities for the amendment of approved projects and the project scope. Three, non-invoking of emergency procurement system resulting in delays in implementation of projects and expenditures. Under reporting, delays in the submission and non-submission of performance and financial reports in accordance with the Disaster Management Act and DORA. Inaccurate and verified reports, capacity and capability constraint within the disaster management fraternity across the three spheres of unavailable of some of provinces for on-site visit. Limitation in the escalation of challenges for strategic intervention by provincial executives. So under the action taken to prevent possible under or over expenditure and underperformance. One, activation of project team steering committee constituted by relevant stakeholders for monitoring, reporting and intervention. That is your MISA, your corporate infrastructure, office of the premier, the municipal project management units and provincial treasury, Department of Water and Sanitation, DPWI, DFFE, etc. And also schedule on-site visits through provincial project steering committees for monitoring and supporting the implementation of projects. The National Disaster Management Center continues to undertake on-site visits in provinces as detailed below. The last visit, which is now currently happening in KZN, which is taking place on the 21st up to the 25th of November. Escalation of matters, engagement of accounting officers and CFO in addressing encounter challenges, tabling and escalation of progress report as an item in agenda of high-level structures across the three spheres of government. Focus on realization of desired impact within communities from project implementation and sustainability of projects and building back better. The next slide, please. Chairperson, our recommendation, it is recommended that the SCOPA note summary of financial and non-financial performance is at the end of the second quarter of the 2022-2023 financial year, as well as reasons and actions taken to prevent possible under or over expenditure and underperformance at the end of the financial year. Two, detailed reports on the financial performance of MIG, IUDG, MDRG at the end of the second quarter of the 2022-2023 financial year. Detailed report on 3.5 billion declared as unforeseen and unavoidable expenditure. Four, detailed overview of funding requirements for reconstruction and rehabilitation of both public and private infrastructure that was damaged by the recent floods per province. Five, the last point, Chair, detailed report on an intervention made to the recent floods, particular in KZN. Thank you very much, DG and the DM and Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim Cocta, for the presentation. Honourable members, you know how we do it. Can I have indications of the honourable members who would like to interact with the presentation?
Mlenzana.
Honourable Mlenzana.
Peters.
Sheikh Imam Chair.
Honourable Sheikh Imam. Honourable Peters.
Kwangwa Chair. Kwangwa.
Honourable Nkwangwa. Honourable Matafa, I heard you. Is that all honourable members? I've got Honourable Mlenzana, Honourable Sheikh Imam, Honourable Peters, Honourable Nkwangwa, Honourable Matafa. Okay, let's try and see whether we can do it in 5 minutes, honourable members. Honourable Mlenzana, please go. For 5 minutes.
No, thanks, Chairperson. I will try to squeeze all this within the 5 minutes, but let me start by welcoming this detailed report. You know, Chairperson, the more you get details, sometimes is the more you get depressed. I wonder if you get me. The transparency that has actually prevailed in this kind of a report is, of course, what we have been looking for. Hence, I'm saying thanks to the department for such a presentation. However, swimming in a mess, Chairperson. I'm running short of any better word other than saying there is no appetite by our own people to service our own community. It cannot be, Chairperson, that you have a situation where you have 0% expenditure, because it means there hasn't been any movement. Hence, then you cannot even begin to talk of under expenditure. It is literally non-expenditure. Now, let me not lament, Chairperson. Perhaps check a few things. Chairperson, there was a module which was a modus operandi. I wanted to say that. A modus operandi, a mode of operation, which was introduced by Honorable Stelo Shiteka, the then minister. May his soul rest in peace. Where Chairperson Okombe Stelo said to municipalities, immediately you adopt your budget as informed by your IDP, what you then do, you develop what he then called, I wonder if it's still there, the department will assist me, to develop what is called the service delivery and budget implementation plan. That plan, Chairperson, would begin to put in all these facts and challenges that are raised here. it would put them in one bag, starting by saying, how much do I have in terms of the funding? Whether funding which is generated from within the municipality or it came through grants and what have you. But you put them there. And then you begin to say, which project are we going to do? When? By whom? And how is the cash going to flow? You have your cash flow projections as informed, you know. And what would be your contingency plan? What if this doesn't happen by then? What would be the cover-ups and all? That plan was very clear, Chairperson. And we further said, that was in the fourth parliament. We said to Ukome, the late minister, we said to him, this is 100% good for inclusion into the prescripts of each and every municipality and COCTA. Because you would then be able to say on a quarterly basis, how are you moving? But funny enough, all these municipalities which are raised here as non-spending or underspending, you would notice that they have got packages called performance bonuses for these non-performing individuals. And you begin to ask why and how does that happen? Do you know the reason, Chair? It would be, I know now, I am now getting into my last minutes. The reason would be, there are no checkups. The council, as the council, would only endorse, but it doesn't receive and approve these quarterly expenditure trends. Thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm done.
Yes, thank you, Honorable Mlenzana. Honorable Sheikh Imam, please come in.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chairperson. Allow me first of all to thank this department and commend this department, Chairperson, that it took them 1 year before they can come back to me to ask me to provide clarity on what information I requested to them in October last year. So what a fantastic department. I actually call them a reactive department, not a proactive department. A lot of what we are attending to currently, which the department is talking about, in fact, this department should have picked up prior to the collapse, particularly of the infrastructure. I'm certain that many members of this department would have been driving around in all these local government municipalities, watching people living on riverbanks, knowing that South Africa is prone, particularly KwaZulu-Natal and the Eastern Cape, to flooding and things. And they didn't think it's important when they see all these things. The ailing infrastructure, the poor roads, the collapsing, the cry from the people for water, sanitation going on for years. This department ignored all that and did very little to hold those accountable to ensure they were proactive so that we could deal with this and ensure that we've been spending money, particularly on maintenance of infrastructure and things, which resulted in us now, which of course we are using the floods as an escape route, of course, and now we have to rehabilitate, many of which you can't rehabilitate, it's beyond rehabilitation. That's the problem. So it's basically another way of saying, let's put new infrastructure. But had this department conducted its oversight and did what they're supposed to do, they call themselves corporate governance. What are they doing to ensure there's high standards of governance in all structures of the government, particularly at local level? Very little is being done. Maybe what they should tell us, what success have they had over these years? I can tell you, Chairperson, we are tired of listening to all these dreams and promises that get made, and very little effectively is being done on the ground to change things. There's no accountability on the ground. There's no consequence management, particularly local government. I know I sound again like a stuck record. Corruption is rife, Chairperson, rife. There's no value for money. People are getting away with murder, all in full view of organizations like SELGA and COCTA and many others. Look at the AG's report, Chairperson. Just look at it. What have we done to improve? absolutely nothing. Now, yes, there's only so much the department can do. I will concede that. But surely you can talk to other stakeholders to improve on that, to put more measures in place, you know, give more teeth, give more power so that you can deal with these things. Very little or nothing has happened as far as that is concerned. But let me reiterate what I'm looking for. And I know, Kokta, you know what I'm talking about, but we all in this country know, particularly the politicians, what I'm talking about. Corruption is rife. There are those people that are taking advantage of the BEE. There are others that are taking advantage because they know people in high places in all these governments. And I'll touch on just local government. What I want to know is, I said, let's start with KwaZulu-Natal. And this is the deputy minister who said she was going to give information by February this year. And when I requested more, she said that will take a little longer. But we still haven't got the one for February in any. What I'm looking for is all those companies that have been awarded contracts in the whole of KwaZulu-Natal, every local government. The names of these companies, the directors, what was the value, where the contracts finished timelessly, okay? And of course, a breakdown, an itemized breakdown of per item so that you can see. One of the major concerns from the chairperson is, you know, this quotation system where I'm told it's under 500,000, I think, subject to correction, where you don't need to put it out to tender. I want to know about that too. Who are these people that are getting, are they finishing these jobs timelessly? Okay. Is it the same people that are getting to, what is the relationship with them and these politicians, mayors and municipal managers and things that are getting? That is what I'm interested in. If there's any clarity you want, please ask it today so that you will know once and for all what I'm actually looking at. I want you to tell us, what are you doing to ensure, and I think my colleague has covered some of that, is, you know, what we're finding is this, that this government, local government particularly, is not in touch with the reality with the people on the ground. There is no real process in place overseen by you. I saw a video the other day, and you know, I see a lot of videos. And I saw this mayor and his team falling off to sleep while they were discussing this integrated plan, the strategic planning. I don't think he knew what they were talking about in any event. But I want to know, what measures are you putting in place to ensure this greater coordination, contact, communication with the people in the ground. Let them own all the strategic plan. And then they will actually be able to talk to the municipalities in the language that they both understand. That here's a plan we put together. That in 2 years' time, you'll build houses. In 3 years' time, you'll do that for roads. In 4 years' time, you'll be giving more water and sanitation. They will own it, and they will ensure that there's compliance as far as it. But when we do it on our own and just throw it at them, that is when they come and protest and do whatever they want to. When? Because we want to introduce that zero-based budgeting process. They're not ready for it. They're not even qualified to do it. It will take a long time to even train them. But can you do something for us just to ensure that? Can you help us to ensure there's greater compliance? Can you ensure to get, you know, I know Treasury is working with National, it'll take them another 10 years. Can you ensure there is value for money, that we're paying 10 rand for something that costs 10 rand? Can you ensure that we reduce that corruption or eradicate it? Can you ensure that we employ people that are fit for purpose, irrespective of who they are, where they come from, which political party, that they have the necessary capacity? Now, let me tell you, you're talking about money that for infrastructure in terms of the flooding. Have you ever addressed the issue of whether the very same people who failed with the infrastructure, right? You are now going to task the same people. Only thing, you're giving them more and more and money. It's not always about money. So, you know, Chair, I don't want to go into many more things. I'm just very disappointed that we're not trying to work together. We know where the problems are. We just don't want to work together to be able to deal with them and create a better environment where we get greater accountability. As a result, the people on the ground will be a little happier. That is all I want to say for today, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Sheikh. Honorable Peters.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think I want to join the colleagues in thanking the Deputy Minister and the team from COCTA for their presentation. And like Honorable Mlenzana, I want to say that we are grateful for this
detailed but depressing and frustrating a presentation. Depressing and frustrating in the sense that there seems to Deputy Minister be no appetite probably in local government leadership, especially from the side of mayors and their MMCs, to monitor and ensure that the outcomes from the resources that they are being given is a positive outcome, in particular the impact it has on the lives of people who live in the geographic space that is under their care. Because I remember in your
honorable,
hello?
Yeah, switch off your video, please. We're struggling to hear you. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Am I audible?
Very much so. Thank you.
I don't even know where I ended. But I was saying this is a very depressing and and frustrating presentation, Chair. And I wanted to know from the Deputy Minister that in her previous areas of responsibilities, she used to emphasize the understanding in the political leadership at provincial and national government that whatever happens in this country is happening on the local sphere of government. So it is happening at local government level. And it doesn't seem, Deputy Minister, that the issues that has been raised by Honorable Mlenzane that are very historic are being attended to. I would like to make an example, Chairperson. I don't know, in my view, MISA has been there, but municipalities seems to be struggling and getting worse. But also, Chairperson, I want to know from the team at COCTA whether they don't want to be associated with success. I also want to know why they seem to be accepting and be able to report on the unforeseen and unintended type of lack of expenditure, for a better word, but also whether they feel proud to say to see municipalities who are failing increasing under their care. But also, I just want to find out whether there is an engagement at a political level between the minister and deputy minister with MECs and the representative of COCTA with regard to the financial issues and the performance of municipalities. But also, Chairperson, listening to this presentation, I was asking myself whether MECs and the heads of departments and at provincial COCTAs are able to present this to municipalities so that they can see themselves with the mirror that is closer to them, where it is not a high-level type of presentation. And Chairperson, you'd remember that one of the DDGs in National Treasury, when we asked in 2019-2020 what they are doing to support municipalities, they indicated that there is so much they can do, but if people who are earning far more than them are not prepared to listen and to be able to participate in the training programs, there is nothing that they can be able to do. Chairperson, my last point, based on what you said, I want to know what is the relationship between COCTA and
recording in progress.
The other departments. For example, we read recently that SANRAL bungled 23 contracts which were intended for rehabilitating flood damage infrastructure in KZN. What is COCTA's intervention? and is the ministry and department, in particular the Department of Transport, involved in some of the discussions related to the disaster in KZN? And because I can't understand how it can take the agency of the state 3 attempts to be able to get contracts out for such important infrastructure. The infrastructure would have allowed for growth also in KZN, because right now the roads that were affected by the floods definitely are still closed because they are not safe for movement of any vehicles. It has a bearing on the transport of goods and services and people, but it doesn't look like there is urgency on the part of SANRAL. And I would understand if a cocktail is involved to be able to get to resolving these particular issues. The other thing is the bickering between national and province about the quality of the presentation or submission and the non-submission. When province was saying they did not receive the money, national was saying they did not receive the request. What request? Because, I mean, for national treasury, what request? Because they have seen the damage that has happened. They needed to also proactive. And Chairperson, I really feel like Honorable Mlenzana and Honorable Sheikh Imam, that at times we don't get value for money from local government as well as from COCTA, because what is it that they are doing to make sure that local government, sphere of government, is able to deliver to the citizens of this country? The 218 municipalities, the 50 whatever districts, with the district development model, there needs to be agency, in particular from this department, to make sure that services does happen. No, I mean, the challenges of MIG, integrated urban development, and all those grants that municipalities receive, and nothing is happening on the ground. Our municipalities or our streets are riddled with potholes. The pipes are bursting all over, water flowing in the streets. And thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Peters. Honorable Nkwankwan.
Chair, may I also keep my video closed, please, because I have low chatting.
Perfect.
How I wish we got this 5 minutes in the House for debating instead of here, where we have ample opportunity to do political posturing, especially on matters such as this one. Chair,
donate some of my minutes, Honorable Nkwan.
Thank you for your kindness, Chair. You know, Chairperson, last year you made a very important point. I think we had SALGA at one of our many meetings with SALGA, and there was this person who was protesting that they can't be told by national what to do. And you quite correctly responded that no one stays at national or provincial level. We all stay in municipalities. And what happens in municipalities affects us, all of us, directly. And when one looks at the state of our municipality, their inability to even spend funding that has been allocated to them, you wonder and you ask sometimes as to what do these mayors and the mayoral committees do? What do the committees do in these local government municipalities if they can't be actually grappling with these issues on a daily basis? And the reason why I'm making that point is I'm looking at the level of expenditure of this municipal infrastructure grant. You look, for example, even when it's categorized in terms of provinces, fine. But when you also look at the municipalities, for example, the department has given us saying reasons identified for poor spending of municipalities, I think it's slide 10. And then it gives a breakdown of these challenges. But, you know, ideally what one would like to see is with these municipalities that are affected, or with, when you look at the reasons for poor spending, We want to be able to relate with it in percentage terms to say how many of municipalities do have supply chain management delays, how many of them have late registration of projects. If it's part of the documentation, I didn't see it. It would be great because then it makes it easier to actually manage and be able to track as to what are the challenges that are faced by certain municipalities in certain regions and what interventions are required. You know, one of the things, Chair, that I picked up when the Deputy Minister of Finance was responding to a question last week in the House, he said they have no capacity as Treasury to be able to track the performance of municipalities, which in my view is unfortunate. And should not be the case, because then we should be able, there must be entities, finance, which is Treasury, and perhaps the COCTA should be able to track the performance of municipalities across the country and cluster them. Because I'm sure even if you're saying in Northwest, certain municipalities were not able to deliver on certain projects, I'm sure most municipalities that are based in rural areas would actually experience similar problems. And then you're able to cluster them and know exactly what interventions you should be making into those municipalities in order for you to be able to improve and track their performance. So I'm saying perhaps when it comes to that line, it should also go to the extent of saying how many municipalities have supply chain management delays, late registration of projects, poor performance of contractors, and so on, and what interventions have been made or were made in the past in order to address those issues. Chair, what also concerns me is when you look at, I don't know what slide number is this, the disaster response grant funding, detailed report on financial performance. You have municipalities such as number two, Mkambatin, where they've spent 100% of the grant. Others have only spent 24% of the grant. And you have Ndabankulu in the Eastern Cape where they've spent 0%, for example. The question would be, yes, we can say Mkambatini, right, has spent 100%, but is it value for money, which is aligned in line with the concern raised by my colleague? For example, Honorable Peters is saying this thing that even when money is spent, do we actually get value for money? So are we able to get an indication whether the projects were completed on time and whether the output, the final product, is actually in line with the standards of what is expected after you have spent taxpayers' money. I'm concerned that, Chairperson, when you look at these municipalities, it's the same problem. It's the same rural municipalities that do not have capacity to spend, but there doesn't seem to be a consequence management approach in instances where people do not spend money. For example, I don't think in all these instances or cases, the case of capacity constraints. There seems to be exactly what Honorable Blendana was saying earlier on, a cavalier attitude. I mean, those people at local government level at times, they just simply do not care about rendering services to the people. As long as most of them get their salaries on time, they do not care. And there needs to be consequence management to say we have built capacity, because I'm sure over the years, various departments have invested in capacity building programs at local government level. But there then needs to be a commensurate level of improvement to say you've made an investment, now people are supposed to improve in terms of their performance. Is that happening? Yes or no? And the only way we can track that is to trend analysis to say, after we did our intervention, say a couple of years ago, this has been the improvement. Has it been a slight improvement or has there been no improvement at all? If no improvement, there should be consequences naturally and obviously. The the other very important point is that wherever you go, you find that, especially when it comes to the emergency response grants and other grants, and when you interact with colleagues at local government level, they always complain about red tape and stringent conditions imposed on the release of these grants. Now, I want to find out whether the department, when they interact with the various municipalities, do they talk about these issues? Do they try and lighten the load or reduce the red tape? Because if the red tape is in place, it should actually be a discussion between Treasury and even COCTA, if you like, and other relevant stakeholders to say, how do we lessen the regulatory or the red tape burden on municipalities so that they are also able to spend what is required of them, but also that services are able to be delivered on time. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Kwankwan. Honorable Matafa, please come in.
Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning, Chair, DM, and the team, Honorable Members. Chair, I'll be very brief, as most of our colleagues have asked the questions that I would have posed as well. But before I start with my questions, let me welcome the presentation and thank the DM and the team for giving us clarity as per our letter of invitation. Chair, I just have three questions. The first one speaks to the municipalities under financial and service delivery distress. In the MTBPS, the National Treasury identified 43, but in one of the presentations, we learned that there are around 64. And I tend to be corrected. The department will correct me in this regard. But the National Treasury also indicates that they have devised a six-point strategy on how they think that these matters can be resolved. Among the 6 points is ensuring funding, funded budgets, strengthening supply chain, asset and revenue management, and others. Now, my question is, how close is COGTA in this particular strategy? Because National Treasury speaks about implementation thereof going forward. Having said that, Honorable Kwankwa raised an issue about the weaknesses of Treasury to track performance by provinces, municipalities, and other state organs. Now, my question is, won't the monitoring and evaluation assist here? And maybe in the view of COGTA, the mandate of the monitoring and evaluation department, is it proactive or reactive? Meaning that can they detect challenges or they wait and report after the fact? And if they find challenges, what is it that they can do together with COGTA to assist these municipalities? Why I'm asking this, Chair, it's based on my second question, which relates to underspending by provinces. The presentation states that Gauteng and the Northwest Province are already in the red. Now, immediately, Chair, I saw the Northwest. I remembered a headline in the Sowetan sometime early this year, indicating that the Northwest Province had returned 18 billion rands to Treasury unspent in the previous financial year. So we are sitting today, we are seeing again Northwest underspending, and chances are that we are going to have another headline speaking of another big amount of billions that are not spent. So the question there interlinks with the issue of monitoring and evaluation. When we pick up slow spending in the interim before the year concludes, are there measures that we can ensure that they are implemented to change that particular scenario? One other thing, Chair, and this is just to check with COGTA. Do we have in COGTA or maybe in the municipalities and provinces a view that each and every municipality and provinces should have a budget committee, just like the mayoral committee or as part of the mayoral committee, which will sit and its main duty will be to monitor the budget allocations vis-a-vis the spending, as well as the rise in assets that are supposed to be developed through this particular spending? Because again, end of the financial year, you only pick up that there's money that we are unable to spend, but in between there is nothing much that would have been done. Chair, my last one is on the role of the MISA and SALGA. Every time we have such discussions, there are indications of programs aimed at capacitating municipalities. My question is, are these programs in line with what is prevailing on the ground, particularly as it relates to lack of capacity, probably in the six areas that were identified by the National Treasury? And how often do these particular structures or programs come together to ensure that there's a holistic impact on the desired outcome? Because my view is that if SALGA is training X and MISA is training Y, but the actual problem is you, then you are not going to have an outcome that will actually resolve the problems that you are facing. Let me pause there, Chair, and thank you very much for the opportunity to engage on the presentation that was very comprehensive. Thank you very much, Chair.
Honorable Tafa, thank you. Honorable Kaiso, please come in.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and the Deputy Minister and your team from COCTA. Indeed, Honorable Chair, I want to take the cue from my earlier speakers on the discussion before this committee. So, Chair, I wanted to start here to agree with my colleague, Honorable Dipu and Honorable Menza, that this is one of the most depressing performance that we came across this year in the departments. But I want to ask first this question to the department. Is the department happy about this presentation performance that has been made before this committee? I think it's very important to get that. And secondly, I think we're singing this song repeatedly of performance management. It doesn't seem to be making any sense as we speak about it. And my second question is, I want to know from the DG, how many of the senior officials have received performance bonuses? In as far as this report is concerned, how many of your senior officials have received performance bonuses? Surely there must be, or there should be. And were you satisfied after having awarded these senior officials performance bonuses on top of what is being presented here as non-performance, that a person will be awarded a bonus without doing anything? So it should be terrible if that has happened. Thirdly, Chair, I think as a committee, because when we appropriate money, it means we must also follow it, as you would every time say in the meeting. So now we at this level won't be able to see, be physically seeing what is happening in our towns and township or cities, as it has been, you know, demonstrated, said earlier, that our cities or township are full of filthy. You come across napkins, rats, bushes in town and cities. You don't know what is happening. But surely we know that there are people who are supposed to be looking after this. And what political sense does it drive to our people when we see or they see these things, and then you end up now reading also what the Auditor General has said about these local municipalities, and you find now a relationship that exists between this presentation and what the Auditor General has said, and what some of the measures have been set, been made, where towns or, I mean, metros or local municipalities were resolved, I mean, dissolved for quite a long time without any progress. So it means there's something that is happening there that we are unable to reach to it, so that it can, and end can be made for the about the existence of such a incident. So I think it is upon us as this committee chair to perhaps resolve to take, identify all these below zeros local government municipalities, those perform below between 0 and 25%. Definitely we have to prioritize them earlier next year as we deal with the budget to go do oversight so that so we have to definitely go and do oversight ourselves, identify some of these municipalities, do oversight and have a practical sense on the ground ourselves as a committee now, this time. Yes, it's fine. We've got a detailed report. It's saying this and this, but we must add now, because I think we've been singing this song of underspending for quite a long time. But this time, I think we need to be practical. Go ourselves there as a committee, do oversight, and come back and see what we can do. But this really, it represents a very bad state of, you know, of the department, cooperative and governance. And lastly, Chair, I just want to know, are there services which have been outsourced, which could have been, you know, still in the hands of the state or government departments, such that now no further, you know, unnecessary spending or cares there, you know, instead of the department itself doing these services? Because I haven't heard for quite a long time whether is outsourced, to what an extent has outsourcing overtaken the work of the department? Because where we see this happy Christmas of service providers not completing the contract work which has been assigned, perhaps you could have allocated this to the state doing those, some of the work itself. Because now it seems that now they have overwhelmed the state now, these private contractors, to an extent that now the local state has become paralyzed, to an extent that now completely nothing that can happen, no expenditure, there's nothing, paralyzed. So I just want to know, get a report, to what an extent has outsourcing has shaped in these local government municipalities, what size of budget has it taken? Because I want to believe that they are getting paid. Some just signed contract only to siphon money and then they are gone. So let me end the Chairperson with this proposal. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Kaiso. Let me just check. Honorable Nzana, anything to add?
No, Chairperson, I'm fine. I'm fine, Chair.
Okay. Honorable Sheikh Imam? Honorable Peters? Honorable Nkwankwa?
Chair, my colleagues have covered me as well. Thank you, sir.
Honorable Natafa?
Sorry, Chair, can I just come in
there? Okay, let me... Just hold on, Sheikh Imam. Let me check with Honorable Matafa. Do you have anything to add? Honorable Sheikh Imam, come in.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. The Deputy Minister, in response last year, said that by February this year, she was going to give us a report in any event of all the defaulters, repeat offenders in the different municipalities, and a list of particularly service providers, you know, that have been failing to deliver on time and things. And I think it was more to it than that. I don't know if she could just update us on that. What is the latest there? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much.
Chairperson?
Yes, Honorable Atafa, you want to come in?
My apologies that I did not come in. I was struggling to unmute myself. I don't know why. I'm fine, Chair.
Okay. No problem.
Can I come in just before you come, Chair?
Yes, Honorable, please.
Yes, Chair, just last question, Chair. I think it will be proper that we get a breakdown information as to these specific towns or local municipalities where non-spending has occurred, so that it's not being generalized. There must be a proper breakdown so that it should also be able to assist us if we want to do oversight visit to those municipalities. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Kaiso. You may take down your hand. On honorable members, thank you for your contribution. Thank you, DM. Thank you, DG, and the team for the presentation. Let me start on the positive. I see that you are on average really paying your service providers within 30 days. I think that's a welcome development in the department. Can we please go to slide 10, which talks to the reasons of underspending or not spending, where spending level is zero. I think it's slide 10. Can you fly to that one? Darren, presenters. Darren, I'm trying to fly to the, because there's a point I wanted to make. Or the presenter, whoever.
All right, we are attending to it.
Okay, please. I think that's got to the one which has given us the reasons, especially of understanding. Let's look at these reasons. Yeah. reasons identified for. Let's go to 10, slide number 10. Yeah. I think I jive, I see me lab. Reasons identified for poor spending are as follows: supply chain management delays, late registration of projects, poor performance of contractors, local business forum interference and important project progress, community protests, changing of project implementation priorities, limited or lack of technical capacity within municipalities, vacant positions in municipalities, impact on the value chain of MIG. Perhaps before I come to this, let's also underline that it's not COCTA who must implement this thing. I think it's important to COCTA is giving us the picture of what is happening at the local government. But having said that, it doesn't mean that COCTA doesn't have a role to play, because these reasons, year in, year out, we are presented with them. What we are not hearing properly and from the output and the result is the intervention of COCTA on these things. What is happening to try and improve them? Because we are going to meet here next year. I can't be looking at these reasons. They seem not to be. We are good at identifying the reasons, but it looks like we're not coming up with the solutions. That's number one. And then the other point that I'm making, that most of these things that we're talking about here are controllables, right? You say a controllable variables. It's us, endogenous variables inside
there's no external or most of them. For instance, supply chain management delays, late registration of projects. These are basic management responsibilities. So perhaps I just wanted to come to this slide to make the point. The point is, what are we doing to try and correct these things? And when are we going to see the impact of our intervention? DM, I think let's agree that the problems that of local government is not money, because usually when we deal with, for instance, the DORA and the DORAP, what we'll get from local government, we want more allocations. But when we do these allocations, as you would have seen that, for instance, in the DORAP and in the MTBBS, we're starting to move and say, let's get a bigger percentage going towards local government, for the reason that Honorable Nkwanko was the reason that Honorable Nkwanko was making, because that's where we all reside. So let's have more resources going to that level. But having said that, we're saying, no. This money thing, we may be missing the point, because one, we can see that the money is not being spent. Two, Honorable Sheikh, where the money is not being spent, we know that you are not getting value for money. Where do we get that? audit outcomes of local government tell the whole story. Either qualifications or complete disclaimers. Again, meaning that there's no accountability of the resources that are being sent at that level. Again, the question is that our interventions to try and deal with that. And as honorable members were saying, the question of consequent management, what do we do once we find that people are doing wrong things? So where you have got 22 out of 88 municipalities spending zero as at the end of September, zilt. So what we'll see is that by the end of the year, there'll be huge underspending, or you'll find the end of the year, financial year spike, fiscal dumping. But what is even more concerning, it's the underspending on municipal disaster response grant and municipal disaster recovery grant. Why is that concerning? Is that, as we know, that these are supposed to be emergency grants. People are living in shelters which are not fit for human habitation. You've got old people, you've got children, and so on and so forth. One would have expected that once resources are being made, there will be agility in terms of spending. And there will be a situation, this thing of paperwork and bureaucracy and so-called red tape, it's really impacting on the people who are supposed to receive the service. I always ask myself, what is difficult, DM? Let's say Umkhundlovu is not bringing in the right documents and so on. What's difficult for COCTA, the minister, the deputy minister, the DG, the DDG responsible for that, to call the mayor, the municipal manager, whoever is responsible for that? They lock themselves in one room with your officials, come with all your computers, let's fix this one. By the time we get out of here, you would have complied with what you want as the national government. And then we sign, and we put those things, so that we should know that at the end of the day, we're just a conduit. If we don't do certain things, the people who end up suffering are the people that are supposed to. So I'm just saying, what's difficult about that? That you get into one room, you take these people and say, no, we know that the things that you just, let's get into one room. That's what you want. Put that into your application and so on and so forth. Why are we making it this difficult? But another worrying thing is the question that most of this underspending is in infrastructure. One, infrastructure is an important input both for government and for private sector. Right, the roads, if you have got good roads, you have got good transport, goods and services will move easier. So that's an input. But again, in terms of children going to school, in terms of nurses, in terms of police, you also need a good infrastructure to do that. Now, so it means if we don't spend on that infrastructure, those people suffer. But even more worrying, we know that the economy of this country is and the world in general, but talking coming closer home, we have said, and that's as per ERRP, which was announced by the president, that we have identified infrastructure as something that is going to help us to reignite the economy so that the economy can grow, so that there can be more resources that are going to go to our people, to government, and so on and so forth, so that our children can have employment opportunities, so that business can have opportunities to provide the service to government, small businesses, black economic empowerment business, women business, and so on. The impact of not spending in the whole economy, I'm not sure whether that is being understood, that it sort of sterilizes whatever the president would have said. If you can go to every sauna that the president comes up with, every budget that Mr. Finance comes up with, we always talk about this spending on infrastructure. But when you get zero spending on infrastructure, it's really worrying. I think I see Mashile on the screen, but I thought I needed to make those points and questions which go with that. Poor spending on the MIG, 40% of municipalities reflected zero spending as at the end of second quarter. Of these 40%, which ones are persistent underspenders? And what has been happening on their infrastructure? And two, how prevalent is the late registration of projection by municipalities allocated funding through the MIG? The question is, should projects not be registered when budgets are allocated in the budget preparation process? DM, you'll decide who answers what. It's back to you and the team. But I think the what one hears here is the concern about huge underspending of the resources and their implications and their impact on the recipients of those services which are not delivered. DM, back to you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I'm going to request possibly the Director General to deal with the questions. We've got a wide range of the team that is accompanying her, and I will make a closing remarks on the issues that I think may need emphasis. But I must indicate, Chair, that I understand and follow through the frustration and the feelings of the members of the committee. They are hitting home. We understand, we know them. But also taking your statement into consideration as well as what I'd wanted to raise, that honourable members need to understand that the Constitution vests the legislative and executive authority of municipalities to counsel. Now, the DG and the team will elaborate how often, I think the last meeting they had with Etekwini was just yesterday. The same way, Jay, you are saying boardroom, laptops and everything on the table to assist the municipality, not only with regard to disaster, make capacity building, many. I will outline them if the DG possibly has not. Dr. Naidu is here, will tell you about the legislation we have made to try to capacitate, reduce, enhance council and their powers, enacted. The fact of the matter is, COCTA can't be municipalities. and culture in the structure that the DG can articulate to. We've even expanded that. We've deployed our own national colleagues to provinces to oversee closely municipalities in that district. But Honorable Chair, the law does not even allow us to implement on behalf of municipalities. We are overstretching NISA even beyond their legal mandate because we want to assist municipalities beyond development of infrastructure. I think a municipal discussion needs a totally different outlook of the revamp of the system because none of us had anticipated that municipalities can actually be at this low in terms of capacity. None of you have spoken about instability, where even our members of staff are tapped out in municipalities, seeking to go there to support. The system is just not as we close our books and leave. In fact, phase zero of before a disaster in our municipalities is the department trying to assist together with National Treasury to put up the plans, Honorable Chair, approve them, and then disperse the money. We are now assisting in records management, which is some of the things they can't keep. We are doing asset management for municipalities and training together with SAGA, everything to capacitate. But Honorable Members must also know the turnaround time, for example, for a municipal manager in our municipalities, at most is 31 months. That means it's just 3 years. In metros, it's 15 months. Just a year and 2 months. Now, it takes everything out of control because you capacitate and recapacitate and recapacitate. But we have got no control on what we can do on that. We oversee, we capacitate, we empower, we meet. We stay in municipalities. On Friday, I was in Eguruleni myself trying to assist them with the budget review. As we are talking, Honorable Diemba Pela has been coming from the Eastern Cape and the Northwest the other week and Free State the other week. DG was in Mangaung the other day. I was in Machabeng. We stay in municipalities, all of us. Maybe DG, you could indicate the issues that you would want to deal with, but I can deal with them one by one. Say, honestly, we need a different type of an approach in how we need to manage municipalities. Maybe let me just deal with them, say, one by one, the DG will add. The first question was SDPIP. In fact, MISA was formed by Honorable the late Sicelo Shicheka, attached to the service delivery based improvement plans. We monitor them from IDP to those plans. Those plans are attached to performance agreements of municipalities, which council must oversee. We have currently enacted and made it mandatory for performance agreement to be cascaded down to middle management. We have enacted it as law. So Dr. Kevin Naidu is here. He can say the process that it took for us to do that. But on top of that, then, the municipal manager is supposed to oversee and council are supposed to oversee the municipal manager. Section 71, corruption itemized breakdown. Honorable Imam, we do not even, which was our response even in the debate, we don't receive as COPTA Section 71 reports, which does a breakdown. But nonetheless, the minister wrote back and we provided the answer on the basis of the issues of what we could be able to do to the chairperson, I think on the 2nd of November, if I'm not wrong, in outlining what are the issues that we could be able to deal with. We deal with employment contracts, we oversee COCTAs, we go to COCTAs on a quarter basis, and we have got 10 key areas in which we overlook. We look for all those things. A consequence management, ourselves and National Treasury agreed, we've developed terms just this week, we are issuing a memo to all mayors on how to do budget adjustment. What are they supposed to, what are we going to assist them with, and the timelines on which at least before the 1st of February, all those budget adjustments need to be done so that they don't lose the money on projects that they've committed. We will be going down, Chair, to do that. Ordinarily, some councils will even tell you, you are overreaching. A budget is a responsibility of council. MISA, I've spoken to it. We could even give you a breakdown which goes even beyond these municipalities that, or these three areas of floods that we are talking about. But as it is now, MISA even deploy engineers which we hire to assist municipalities to deal with those assessment plans, because they will never come to the table. We are able to do that, but it's also, as I am saying, dependent on how we get to be received. There are municipalities which have taken the department to court on overreach. They don't want Section 139, they don't want Section 154, differently on how they release them. So a national, provincial collaboration with municipalities to provide a plan is what NDMC does on a day-to-day basis. But Honorable Chair, maybe what we have also not highlighted is the state of our disasters and committees with regard to the provincial and IUTF, which is intermediary cities, with regard to disaster management. That is why you find some of the municipalities do not even have the infrastructure which could make them ready to respond to the issues. Honorable Nkwankwa raised the issue of the detailing finances and the spending that is low. We could do that because we sit on a quarter. Mr. Pasha, can you please switch off? Okay, I'm sorry. It's because it's my official.
Okay.
It's my official from COCTA who has forgotten to mute. My sincere apologies. I was saying Honorable Nkwankwa raised an issue on spending low. We could unpack that, Chair, submit the information, which is because COCTA, as I'm saying, aligned with Section 52, on every quarter we assess, we meet with municipalities. I've been a mayor for 8 years. I've sat with their team almost every quarter as Bulukwane is part of one of the IUTF cities. They demand those plans and implementation and assist where we need to be assisted. The department has DPSA to further assist the capacity of municipalities in this regard. But it depends whether the municipality has the staff, is council listening to reports, does it sit, if at all. So the capacity that SALGA does, it's not a replication. We share responsibilities. For example, they deal with the orientation, they will deal with impact, we will deal with the legislation, they will deal with the audit outcomes of 10 municipalities, we'll deal with the other audit outcomes of support. So we share responsibilities, including LTC, on what needs to be done to municipalities. But my take on capacity building, you can take the horse to the river, but you cannot make it to drink. We need to make the laws that at least give municipalities, I mean the department, and we're busy with that, at least control or access to a lever to be able to extract. Look, we're trying to even enforce DDM. There are municipalities which have written back to us to say they're not going to do one plan. It's overreach. They will plan the way they want. That's the DDM. It's not a legal. It's a framework we're trying to do to assist in line with IGR. But you do that, municipalities tell you, please don't even come near to us. In writing, not just in the passage. We've got two municipalities in this country out of the 257 which have refused. Some, yes, have done it and say we do not have the capacity, and then we will capacitate in that. The approval process, Chair, for as long as we all understand, the National Treasury can be brought on board as well when you go to oversight, that yes, you would want a fast approval, but I need to be able to say to you, I've transferred 10 cents to the city of Etekwin, and why? And that is why we bring MISA in almost all the municipalities where they are getting stuck to assist them with the assessment. When you go to oversight, please ask them how they even produce the report on the table. But Chair, disaster was declared in April, in the middle of April. Our first chance, after all the push was done in June, our report has indicated that. Yes, it's too long, but we are looking into mechanisms of shortening the process. So it's not like we've taken a year. We've listed municipalities, even dates, on when was the amount paid and facilitation of ensuring that all that is there. Yes, Honorable Matas, 64. In fact, in our last review, it's 66 municipalities that are dysfunctional. But we have made great impact. DG may remind me of the figures. In between medium and low risk municipalities, in terms of concretizing and ensuring that they don't become dysfunctional. The category of national treasure, it has picked up 43 out of those 64 municipalities which are dysfunctional and have put the recovery plans. And they do that jointly with us to ensure that we monitor and they share with us the reports which by law they are mandated to get as the custodian of finances under the MFMA. And those reports don't come to COPTA, but it's because we have the early warning system team which sits together with our COPTA and National Treasury to identify these municipalities, deal with the challenges and also. But what Honorable Masondo did indicate to you, it's true. The same way as COPTA does not have the capacity to deploy a person in all the 257 municipalities, our structure is not designed that way and we may not be able to assist. Honorable Kaiso, we are not happy. That is why we stay in municipalities every day. The minister was in Uku, not only because the president was there. She took about 3 days even before the arrival. We go to all the municipalities all the time. I've spoken already to performance management, where there were weaknesses, we enhanced the system. How many officials the DG can respond to that? I don't know who received the bonuses. Waste collection, we've even gone to an extent of doing a typo through MISA. We adopted municipalities on how to collect waste and they create community recycle buyback system and how they collect. And the Department of Environment has even been giving us some of the machinery in some of the municipalities where they are unable to, Minister Chris, where they are unable to do waste. But we can't collect everywhere. We have got to be able to be selective. Repeat offenders, Honorable Imam, we can give that breakdown. I think it links to the question of what the Honorable Chair has said with regard to the 40% persistent underspenders. We will do that and assist what and give to the committee. Maybe that will also assist. But as I said, Chair, we can do that with ease because we sit with National Treasury to ensure that we try to do a breakdown and a monitoring element on the non-spending. What can we do to enhance and what should we do that should be done by National Treasury? DG, I'm requesting that you mute as well. And my last part, Chair, because your questions were very much related, Honorable Members, is that we ensure overall that the plans of COCTA, in this instance NDMC, assist provinces and municipalities in one room, cascade them to ensure that there is a fast track of implementation and payment. Beyond the support, which is section 154 and 139 of normal intervention, we walk into municipalities and assist them at an ad hoc basis to ensure that they are able to recover their plan. I would love also, Honorable Members, to present something that looks better than what we are presenting. But we currently have challenges. We are not warming the chair. We are working on what we could be able to do, but we need collective effort to change our municipality. DG, I will request that you deal with the question of Honorable Kaiso, if there are officials or maybe DDG Pretorius if there are officials who received bonus in the department. I think honourable members will indicate if there was one or question that I didn't, but I was taking notes and I've picked almost everything, Chair, that was raised. Thank you very much.
DG and your team?
No, thank you so much, Deputy Minister. Perhaps just to respond then on the question on the bonuses, if I could ask Mr. Pretorius to respond. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. Good morning, DM. In the previous financial year, the department paid bonuses to 29 officials, which were 6% of the total establishment of the department. And of that, 8 individuals were senior management. The 21 remaining were levels 1 to 12. In the current financial year, there will be no bonuses payable. Thank you, Chair and Members.
Okay, DM, I think that's the end there.
Yes, Honourable Chair, back to you and seeking your guidance. Thank you.
I can hear the pain in your response on the situation at the local government, but you'll bear with us. You are the bearer of bad news to us. And then we are going to also to be the bearer of good news, I mean of bad news, to those who are not performing. I think we're very clear in our minds that even between yourself and local government, there's still provincial government. Again, they've got their own cocktails and so on and so forth. But as all members have said, that it's very clear that things are not happening at that level. Let me give you this assurance that when it comes to us being constrained by our laws to try and make things better at that level of government, I can tell you that across political lines, all of us are just frustrated that things are, we don't need to even to politicize this one because municipalities across, they are now being governed by different parties and so on. But when we meet, we've got the same frustration. So what's my point? My point is that we are lawmakers as well listening to you. If there are things which are becoming impediments to us delivering to our people who have sent us here, I think we will be singing in one voice to say, let's identify those things and let's help us identify those things so that we are able to to better the way we are delivering to our people. Because it doesn't make sense that if one is not doing his or her work and then the higher structure, we are not a federal state here, we are a unitary state. And there's a reason for that. The health structure want to intervene and one protects incompetency and non-service delivery. I don't think that we can then be constrained by the laws that are being made by us. So my point is that it's also incumbent upon us and the department to say, no. If 1, 2, 3, and obviously without overreaching, but I'm sure there'll be conditions of getting there. Of getting involved once things are not happening. So I just thought let me park that one and say we'll always be willing to look at those laws as Parliament. Honourable members, I think we have had an opportunity to raise our issues. DM and the team, you also could hear the frustrations of the honourable members. DM, as I said, my principal statement was, so we agree that money is not always a problem in local government. we appropriate money as Parliament, But when you get this type of a thing, it becomes difficult for us to go and argue in parliament that more resources should go there. One, because they're not spent, and secondly, they're not properly accounted for, and you've got qualification, you've got disclaimers and so on at local government. So it does create that problem for us. But let me take this opportunity to thank you, DM Gadiming, DG Williamson, and the team, Mr. Pretorius, and everybody who's on the platform from Team Copter for coming to us. I think we will continue interacting we'll also like to hear what the executive in general is saying on these issues. But thank you very much. You can remain on the platform, DM and your team, who are very transparent as a this committee, but it looks like you've got a lot of work, so we can excuse you.
Thank you very much, Chair. We'll request to be excused. We are joining another team, a portfolio committee sitting, speaking the same answers. Thank you very much for your support and guidance. It's appreciated all the time. And we'll improve and do our best. Thank you, Honourable Members. Can we take leave with your permission, Chair?
Please do.
Thank you. Thank you, DG. Thank you, team. Goodbye,
thank you.
Committee.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Members.
Thank you, DG. Honourable Members, Darren?
Yes, Chair.
Oh, is it Mashile, Nyang DG?
It's Mashile, yes.
Mashile, then we let's go to the next agenda item. I think it's there.
Yes, Chair. It's announcements, and good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. Mm-hmm. The next meeting will be held tomorrow. We are meeting with the Department of Public Enterprises and Transnet. Regarding the study tour, the committee is still busy with the financials. If there's anything urgent, members will be consulted. And lastly, there are members who haven't submitted the travel insurance documents, so they are needed as soon as possible. So members are requested to submit them to the Secretariat. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mashile. Can on this one of the travel insurance, can you please identify those rural members who have not submitted, and kindly call them on their phones, because it may be late, and then they travel without insurances, or they're not even allowed to travel. So if you could just pick up the phone and try to remind them.
Yeah, we'll definitely do that, Chair. I think the arrangement is underway. We'll be calling them, we'll be contacting them personally. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you. Honourable Members, as you all said, the state of local government is worrisome. And I think as DM was saying, that as a national department, they become bearer of bad news. I think we need to revisit this one and see what is the better intervention, not necessarily by SCOA, but by Parliament in general and the provincial legislatures. Thank you very much. That takes us to the end of this meeting. Let's meet tomorrow at 9 o'clock.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you,
Chair.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chair.
Thank you.